Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Braden Holtby.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. I am your host, the fisherman. I mean, the blue liner on point.
I don't know if you've earned fisherman status yet.
Oh.
Oh.
Ouch.
Not yet. We'll see. Well,
are you Scherzer about that?
Very much so.
Okay.
I am so Juan Soto sure about it.
Oh, it's going to be like that, huh?
It is.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if I've earned it by the end of this episode. But yes, I am the blue liner on point. And that, of course, is the dulcet tones of the mermaid, the one and only Anna Knox, live to tape from Centerville, Virginia.
Yes. Bonjour, mon ami.
Oh, throwing out the French. So you can do the French, but I can't.
Yeah.
That's course. Not fair.
It's beyond fair.
Okay. All right. Well, wherever you are listening in the state of Maryland, District of Columbia, and the Commonwealth of Virginia, welcome, welcome one and all, and of course from all points around the globe. Thank you for listening once again. We are a Washington Capitals fans hockey podcast. We are about the Capitals and, of course, their fans. You and I both. And it's another week of Caps hockey, and it was an excellent, if not short, week of Caps hockey. Only two games on the docket that we will go over.
Two kick-ass games.
Two very kick-ass games that we'll go over in kick-ass fashion that we will be discussing here. But unfortunately, we're going to have to start the show on, well, kind of a down note. But as of course you all know, it's November, which is Hockey Fights Cancer Month. So we're starting that again this year. Anna and I are going to try a lot harder, I think, this month to spread the word, get the kind of donations coming in, trying to be a little bit more vocal as far as that goes. Especially given recent events. Anna will explain that here in a moment, but I just want to put it out there that the every team has a quote unquote night when they host a home game that features Hockey Fights Cancer Charity. And the Capitals, for them, it happens to be November the 3rd.
November 23rd.
Yes, November the 23rd. And looking ahead at the calendar, they will be playing, it won't be the Hurricanes because they're having their own night, so it's not them. Okay, November the 23rd is a Saturday, and they will be playing a matinee game against the Vancouver Canucks.
Okay.
The 12:30 puck drop, but yes, that will be the Hockey Fights Cancer featured event for our Washington Capitals. So if you can get out there and help spread the word, make a few donations, buy a few items for charity, that'd be absolutely great. Anna and I are going to continue to spread the word through the whole month. We both have some personal experiences with that as we've related to with you over the years, but none more so than recent times. So I'll shut up and let Anna explain what's been happening with her over the last few weeks.
Right. Thank you. And I do have to start off by saying that our Caps family and the members who follow us on the Power Play Point podcast Facebook page have been nothing but loving and just awesome when I posted today. I don't usually like to put stuff like that. I'm usually a little bit more lighthearted, but I felt like I needed to acknowledge the fact that, yes, one of the students I had been working with for 2 years, his name is David, was diagnosed with a brain tumor back in, gosh, it was like the last week of May. And it really just came on suddenly. And we just said, okay, you know, whatever you need. I went to Children's Hospital to visit him, checked in with him over the summer, and figured, okay, after radiation and maybe chemo, we would be, you know, making progress. Unfortunately, this cancer, like all the cancers, are a fucking asshole. And David just took a huge decline, you know, very, very quickly. Like on Saturday, when I spoke to mom about coming to see him, even though they were in hospice, she's like, well, he's sleeping, but if you still want to come. And then 24 hours later, I was at his bedside and he was there with a Star Wars pillow, telling me and a couple of other teachers that we needed to go back to work because while we were teachers and we needed to make money. So he was, you know, like a little old man and had the best sense of humor. And I got his humor. He got my humor. And so for me to know that that was my last memory of him, you know, just kind of keeping the sarcasm going was very awesome and perfect for me. So anyways, yeah, so David did pass on Tuesday, surrounded by his family. And in his Jewish culture, it's, you know, the turnaround is very quick when they have a funeral. So it was on Friday. And I will say that having to go to student's funeral is one of the hardest things I've ever done, let alone the fact that he's the same age as my son. Kind of makes you think about things. So yeah, do you want to, you know, start appreciating life a little bit more? Absolutely. Love your loved ones that much more? Absolutely. Want to just shake your head and say, how the fuck can we raise all this money for cancer and yet we don't have a cure for any of them? Ugh. Absolutely. So I'm going to dedicate my month for this cancer and wear purple. If I can get to that game on the 23rd, that would be amazing. In honor of David and a student who is forever going to be ingrained in my mind as just, I was honored and humbled to call him one of my own. And we'll absolutely never forget him. So thank you for those who offered well wishes and shoulders to cry on and whatnot. But yeah, so I'm going to dedicate this episode and actually all the other ones to David because he wasn't a sports fan, but he absolutely would understand my input, for lack of better words. So thanks, Gil, for the little soapbox moment there. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Sounds like he was an amazing young man.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I was part of his speech. I didn't speak at the funeral, but I was up on the, I don't know, I'm assuming it's called an altar. and I will attend. They have the Shiva ceremonies, recognition, just Monday, Tuesday. So I will go to that tomorrow night. So there will be no sports on the hill for Anna, but Robbie Gross and Carol Porter have been nothing but amazing and supportive. So I appreciate that if we're just going to loop back into the hockey thing.
Okay. Well, not just yet. So you have, basically you have your person to fight for.
Yes.
The stickers, of course, the purple stickers that have the name tags, so to speak. Everyone has a person to fight for the month. So you have your person. I've yet to find mine, but I'm sure I will have someone in not too long. I don't have much to add except for what I've said in the past, so I'm not going to repeat myself again, but it's one of those things where you feel powerless and yet you see people like And I'm just throwing a lot of examples out there that I know of. But Layla Anderson, the young fan from St. Louis. Of course, Eddie Olczyk, who survived last year. You know, this thing is beatable. And the silver lining, as I'd like to say, in all of this is that there are examples that it can, this fight can be won. So without getting too sloppy sentimental about it, yes, you are going to lose people, but they never go by the wayside because they are always an example of sorts to how to live your life. And that's how they live on, because they serve as your inspiration. So yeah. I'm glad to see that you're using it in that way. So we're going to turn away from the bad. Well,
the sad,
the sad, the not as pleasant. And we're going to turn towards better news. Last week, of course, we featured a fellow Caps fan by the name of Mitch Bates, whose GoFundMe page we have linked on our last episode's description. So if you can pull that, it's still there, still up and running. And I'm getting stuff together to make sure I can make my donation, as I hope all of you Caps fans plan to do as well. It's still alive. He's still got a ways to go, but he did post an update on his Facebook page. And I'll go ahead and read it. It was earlier this morning, in fact. Just got off the phone with the doctor. He advised me I need more hockey, so to Hershey I go. So he's well enough, thankfully, to take a trip up to Hershey, and he caught the game there. Now he's going to be in a wheelchair still for a while, but his spirit is high. He's making it back. That's what counts.
And that's what's going to be contagious, I hope. You know, when you have somebody like, I mean, I just posted this thing about having a rough week, and I didn't mean to be cryptic, because I really do hate when people are like, I'm sad. And then like 8,000 comments of like, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? I'm like, when I posted earlier, I didn't mean for it to come off that way. And then I realized, okay, yes, I did exactly what I hate. And there is something to be said about people who, whether, you know, they listen to the show or they follow us on Facebook, or they're just Caps fans in general, and they wholeheartedly feel sorry for what has happened to you. I heard from Kevin Simmons and then Chris Levesque, and, you know, it was just very, and of course, Lisa, it was very sweet and it was very warm to me. I kind of took them all as hugs. So that to me, and so for Mitch to go to the Hershey Bears game and wheelchair or not, it doesn't matter. You're there, your spirits are high, and to me that just makes me smile. So rock on that one.
Most definitely agree. And so yes, as a contrast to the dark or the sadness, I wanted to post that out there, because it's we need to hear all that. So we need to know there's always the sunshine after the rain and all that. And I know I'm talking like Hallmark card now, but
yeah, you're kind of, because I feel like now I need to bring up the porn story from when I saw Ovechkin.
I don't know that that's the right. Yeah, maybe like towards Christmas, maybe.
Too soon? Well, no, yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
Might be too soon.
Okay.
For that.
Never too soon.
Okay. So, let's go ahead and just jump right into the hockey. Only two games, as I said before. First one, of course, well, they finished out the road trip in Canada against the Maple Leafs, and this was almost a week ago, on the 29th of October. It's a 4-3 win, as you all saw, in overtime. And yeah, look, I realize the other game was kick ass as far as production, but you know what? To me, this one, I think this one would have had Chef Jose Andres go magnifico, delicioso, because this to me had everything a hockey game is supposed to have.
Yeah.
Had the hits, had the scoring, had the tight play, had the defense, had the clutch goaltending. It had all of it. And you like to see, and this was again a comeback, come from behind effort.
Mm-hmm.
They fell behind 1-0. In fact, 40 seconds into the game, fell behind 1-0. And that can be quite demoralizing, as we've seen in the past. So, but you know, and it took him a while. But John Carlson finally brought his pair, first of his two, tied it 10 minutes later on a slap shot, his sixth of the year. Thus endeth that period. Second period, he makes it 2-1 with his seventh. Ovechkin and Backstrom on the assist, and that would be a power play goal. Then became the Austin Matthews show. for about 4 or 5 minutes, towards the end of the second, the backbreaking, always backbreaking goal, tying it up at 2, and you thought, you hate to see those, because I thought anyway, it was just, oh God, an end-of-period goal. They had all the momentum, and then they lose. And sure enough, minute 46 into the third, Leafs get one of their 8 gazillion power plays. Good God, you'd have thought the referees were getting a rate or something.
I think they were a little slightly distracted with Austin Matthews' porn stash going on that night.
Oh, you had to go there.
I did.
But so look at this.
How many hockey podcasts can use the word porn twice in like a 2-minute time span?
And get away with it?
Yeah.
Only us, apparently.
Yeah, only me, apparently, because you're like, well, I'm blushing. Just kidding. But I will say his porn stash is pretty freaking horrific. Like if he was at a bar, like, or if I was at a bar and single and he hit on me, I would just be like, I don't care who the hell you are. Ew. Like he's just, yeah. It just like when Tommy has it, even though Tommy like, but he's got his porn stash. It's like, it's kind of a different level. This one took it to like straight up 70s, YMCA, I don't know, Saturday Night Fever, I don't know what it was, but when I looked at it, I'm like, there's just a point where some people just shouldn't have facial hair. Austin Matthews, no. No.
Well, no. See, look, I'm not one to judge, so for the most part, I'll demur, but a guy like Austin Matthews, I don't know why most women would want to be around him anyway, because he seems to be the kind of guy that will promise you the moon and try to deliver it. And
that was good. That was just good.
Doesn't work out for very well. But getting back to look at this ridiculous roll call of penalties. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 called in the first alone. Cross checking, slashing, interference, holding, slashing. Second period, holding, TJ Oshie. that's hilarious. Okay, so Oshie got the first penalty. The guy he slashed, the guy he held, high sticked him back 3 minutes later and got called for it. Holding against Tom Wilson. That's a penalty you probably committed once in your life.
I was going to say, I would love a holding against Tom Wilson for more than 2 minutes. But apparently in this game, hockey, you can't do that. But because I think I would be like, yeah, it would be totally uncalled for.
Oh, it gets better. I think you know where I'm headed with this. But let's see. After that, Kempney interference, Siegenthaler interference, and then, oh boy, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but probably the stupidest call I've seen the whole freaking year so far. This phantom Oh, wait, you know what? I think I got that one wrong. That might have been. Hold on. Oh, no, no. Okay, yeah, no, this is the right one. Okay, this is 1:27 into the third. Okay. Tom Wilson gets called for charging.
Right.
Charging. Which okay, is, so like, the legal definition of the, I mean the guy didn't even have didn't flash a Visa or a MasterCard. Sorry, Lisa. She's probably cringing right now.
Yeah. Anyway, we get each other.
But seriously, the legal definition as defined by the NHL rulebook is if you take more than two steps towards an attacking player with the purpose of hitting them to separate them from the puck. Okay, that didn't happen. Neither did the other thing that they said happened was that, well, I thought, officially it went in as a roughing penalty.
Right.
But at the time they called it a cross check, he didn't do that either.
No. It was just a bullshit call. It was another one of those.
It was an embarrassment.
Yeah, truly. I mean, it was a shake your head, what the fuck? Come on, are you kidding me? Call. And not just because it was Tommy. I mean, partially for me, but not just because it was like I could almost feel through the TV and through my phone Bernie Diehl being like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you know, being like, and here's the rules and here's what it says and here's what happened, and his incredible knowledge of hockey and rules and everything else, that I felt the same way. I just kind of looked like, hold on a second, what? So yeah, that was 1:27. Yeah, it was a joke. It was definitely a joke.
Completely. And let's review this. So that was the power play upon which Austin Matthews got his 11th and gave the Leafs the lead.
Right.
But then about 2.5 minutes later, the captain ties it up with his first of a pair to tie it up, as I said. So 4:10 into the third, and back and forth the rest of the game. And if he got a pair and that was his first, you know where I'm going if this thing went into overtime, which it did. Mm-hmm. 4 minutes in, and I heard, I think Locker say he never left the ice. I think he played all 4 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I heard the same thing, which is insane.
And ironically, as many power plays as the Leafs got during the game, the Caps got 2 in overtime alone.
Right.
And the second one cemented it. So Alex Ovechkin, the classic slapper from the from his office on the power play, Dmitry Orlov and Jacob Vrana with the assists, with their fifth each. And away they went with the win. But as I said, this was a great game to watch. It had just enough outrage. It just had the hitting. It had the excitement. It had the back and forth. This was probably one of the few games I've been really into this whole year, because it's either been blowout or a lag in the third period or something like that.
And but this was 60 minutes of hockey.
It's what exactly right. Exactly right. You nailed it. Nailed it.
And it was
plus 64 minutes.
True. Yes. Thank you for that. But it is awesome.
And Anna.
Yes.
Will you still need me? Will you still need me when I'm 64?
I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Okay.
But thanks for the Beatles, you know, quote. It's a great song.
Pleasure.
Yeah, always. But no, this was good. This was a team that I don't know. Again, I think I've said this before. They just don't get under my skin. As much as the Austin Matthews and the airport embarrassment. I mean, that's just like, that's all in that guy being a douche to that TSA person, but whatever, when he's on the ice, and then that's really all we care about at this point, is he's, you know, damn freaking good to watch. minus the porn stash.
And yeah, he's a world class talent, but all those antics he did, that thankfully that's all behind him.
I see what you did there. But you have to, you know, you look at this game and it was just like, yes, this was kind of that, you know, exactly what we needed to see. We needed to see that 60 minutes, loving Carlson scoring twice, you know, everything about this was just great. And I think that is what led into the kick-ass game against Buffalo.
Yeah, they were riding high there. They were riding a pretty fast Kurt Suzuki cycle there towards that. So yeah, speaking of that, let's go ahead and talk about that. Although, look, fun to watch. Yeah, but I didn't enjoy it as much. I did enjoy it, but not as much as the previous game. Because, like I said, I bet you did, because it featured. Yeah, it featured a lot of things, especially the opening goal. And yeah. this was probably an omen of things to come. But Jacob Vrana opens the scoring 6:17 into the first with a snapper, assisted by who?
Tommy.
So your two favorites combining the opening goal there.
It kicked off with like a little, like, oh, my ovaries. Will they explode tonight? Probably. They probably will. I mean, 13 and 43 on a goal together and assist. It was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Funny you should say 13 and 43 on a goal, combining on a goal, because how much time had elapsed versus how much time was left when they scored that goal?
Right. Before he scored again.
When they scored that goal, 13 minutes and 33 seconds were left in the period.
Well, that just makes my ovaries explode then, because I didn't get that statistical into it. I was just like, shut up, look at that. Because, you know, and I said it, I think, last week or the week before, that I think that Jacob Vrana is a player that you could see as soon as he leaves the ice and, you know, is just sitting on the bench, just, you know, kind of getting some water, whatever else, you can see it on his face with how he feels about the game at that moment, or and not even the game, how he feels about himself as a player in that hockey match, because he either has this, and he does have an incredible smile, I will say, and he has a smile and he's talking to the guys next to him and he's very relaxed and he's very focused. Or you have the Jacob Vrana, where you're looking at him and he looks like, you know, somebody ran over his puppy, and it's like these puppy dog eyes and he's like, this sucks and I need to kind of get, you know, like he's really hard on himself. So for him to kick off and have this goal was fantastic. And then for him to almost have a hat trick was like, who was rooting for him? And that would be me.
That would be everybody, actually. Are you saying he's also Juan Soto-genic?
Is he Juan Soto what?
Soto-genic.
Oh. See, now I can't think of a pun. Yes, I would say he hit it out of the Stratosphere.
Oh, nice, nice.
Does that work? I took it down to your level and tried to deliver.
My level, eh?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But yes, but
tearing hole in my fisherman's net again, are you?
Just a little bit.
Okay. All right.
Moving on. So we have Vrana scoring. And then we have Vrana Stephenson scoring.
Chandler Stephenson with his second. Good for him. 42 seconds later. And you knew the route was on at that point. So good to see him getting in there. Leipzig and Boyd with the assist getting on the board. That whole fourth line would have a ball this game. And then 2.5 minutes later, Vrana with his second of the game, six of the year, Kempney and Wilson on the assist.
And this was by trifecta ovary explosion. Vrana and Kempney Wilson. It was like, how they're trying to kill me. Literally, they're trying to kill me. But this was, beautiful.
Very, very much so. I think
it was awesome.
One, The first one was, I wish I could remember. One of them was a breakaway. I think it was this one.
Mm-hmm.
Semi-breakaway. Wilson sprung him. Kempney dug it out of the corner. I think Wilson sprung him, and then he was off to the races, and he got him.
Yeah.
But the goal after this was probably my favorite of the game.
Yeah.
Similar, actually. Radko Gudas gets it out of the zone. And Travis Boyd.
Badass. Oh boy,
did, man, I don't know what he had for breakfast, but he needs to mark down the recipe and keep it forever, because
seriously, beyond Wheaties.
Yeah, he, okay, so he streaks down the right wing boards. Trey Turner's the defenseman inside out, and then does a dangle, and then finds Leipzig at the edge of the net, who puts in the wrister for his first as a cap, first of the year, obviously. 10-44 the first. And the route's been on, but yeah, this was absolutely magnificent goal, and you love to see the fourth line. You kind of wish they'd spread it out a little bit instead of, you know, the glass ketchup bottle where it all comes out at once.
Does it?
But we'll take it. We'll take it.
Yeah, but I will say, Leipzig's, you know, I said it towards, I believe, before the first game. Liking the guy, liking his skills. He's kind of, you know, he's not showboating. He's not a super hothead. He is just out there. So I think this first goal was definitely needed. Now you move over that hump, and now we're going to see him just really step it up. Because I think that anybody coming into any kind of professional sport, you want to get over that first hockey goal, that soccer goal, that first touchdown, that first home run. And then you're like, yeah, okay, I've got this. This is why I'm here. This is why I need to be here. But you don't want to ever have that, you know, kind of burden over your head. And I think Leipzig is just like, yeah, he kicks ass, and he's from Winnipeg. So just saying.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. Can't go wrong there. Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, so that made it 4-0. And then what ended up being the shutout, as it were, and a bit of an embarrassing thing here, but I don't know. I know Jonas Siegenthaler has tried to make an impression, but this isn't the way to do it. So, but we all saw what happened. But I mean, he's trying his best, but it wasn't a kiss ass goal. It's more like a Swiss ass goal. And it's credited to a guy named Harry Yokiharu, who, if that doesn't sound like a porn name, I don't know. I don't know what.
See, now we managed to use porn in three times.
One of them by awesome. Me. I can't believe I'm saying it.
You want to hear about my porn story. I know you do.
You talk about going down to a level.
Oh, going down. Yes. Go ahead. Continue.
No, we'll save that story for a later episode. Mm-hmm. But besides which, we're getting to the good part. You talk about porn. Tom Wilson, I'm kidding. But he did have something that he used between his legs to get a goal in.
From Michael Kempney.
Wow, this is going down a bad road real fast.
But come on now. It was a tip-in. It was awesome. It was from Michael Kempney. And I am just so much more excited that Michael Kempney is just kicking as much ass as he has after that horrific injury. I'm a big fan, but there's something better than seeing players come back and they're just, you know... I just, hats off to him for training as hard as he did, but really coming back and just being everywhere. So, yeah. But of course, when they write this, like, you know, Tom Wilson's fifth Michael Kempney assist with a tip in, you kind of can't help but have a childish sense of humor like me and giggle. Because it was really hot.
But no ovary explosion?
Oh, no, there was. This would probably be my fourth. Like, good Lord. Anywho, moving on.
Yeah. Okay, so that made it 5-1. And then the nightcap was Oshii 13-43 in the third, making it 6-1. Yeah, I don't want to act like, hey, nothing to see here, but you know, like I said, the route was on. You knew they were going to win. And then for the rest of the game, it was the get a hat trick for Vrana festival.
So close.
Couple times he had a couple good shots towards the end, but you know, not to be, but he'll get one of these days.
What is it like, Al?
Well, it's like, you know, when you tell your teenage son when he's in a slump as far as dating, it'll happen.
Is it though?
Sorry, bad example. We seem to be full of them today.
Apparently.
Okay. But so that was the week that was as far as the on-ice activity. So a 4-3 overtime win and a 6-1 regulation win at home. So that wraps up that week. Tonight, of course, as we speak in about 10 minutes, in fact, the Caps are back home again against Calgary, and they have as their honored guests we've mentioned a few of them already, the 2019 World Series champion Washington Nationals.
Hell yeah. Well deserved.
In attendance.
Yep.
And celebrating, and if it was... They're going to try, but I don't know if they'll duplicate the Caps celebration. But like as many have observed, I would like to see them try.
I think they're going to try, but I really don't know if you could ever take away from the fountain love and just the amazing amount of alcohol consumption and love towards each other for days on end. It was like they would see each other and be like, oh my God, we run the fucking Stanley Cup. And then it would just start all over again. And what I saw last night with a couple of people who filmed them at a bar, the Nats at a bar, they look like they're well into the alcohol binging end of it, which is amazing. But we haven't seen any crazy fountain moments. But then again, I kind of understand why, because it's fucking cold. But they'll do something, I'm sure, that's just going to make us be like, hell yeah, make us proud. Like, we did the fountains, and you guys, I don't know, like, streak around the monuments or something. whatever it takes. But I think tonight they're going to, I love that bromance between the Nats and the Caps. I think when you have sports players, you know, athletes that just... you know, have nothing but mutual respect towards each other, and it carries over into, you know, out of the season and whatever. It's very cool to see. So they will be there tonight, and I think that's awesome.
And I do too. And they will be surely Adam Eaton Good in the neighborhood on the Capital One festivities.
Oh, okay. I thought you almost had a pun there on an Adam Eaton, but then I was like, no, maybe not.
No. Well, I know a certain Flyers fan who might be listening, yacking up his guts at the sound of that, but that's a story for another time. Although
it is.
Okay. So moving onwards and upwards to previews of coming attractions. So the next few games are going to go something like this. Of course, tonight against the Flames at home, and then 3 days rest. They don't play again. They go back on the road for a game in Miami against the Florida Panthers. First test against their new goalie, Sergei Bobrovsky. So that's 7 o'clock puck drop, November the 7th, Thursday. And then it's a Saturday night game back at home at Cap One against the Vegas Golden Knights, 7 o'clock puck drop there, as I said. And then next week, next 2 weeks, actually, get kind of busy.
Right.
four games, and they kind of flip flop between home and the road. Arizona, that Monday night, that's the 11th, that's Veterans Day. And then Philly against the Flyers on the road, 7:30 puck drop there, then back home against the Canadiens on Friday, and then another back-to-back Saturday. This time they go up to Boston for the Saturday night game there. So that's the next 2 weeks. Schedule's getting kind of cramped here. And so probably aside from that road trip they were just on, which they did well on, probably another test of their conditioning and whatnot. So it's going to be interesting to say. And some teams there that are foundering a bit, and some that are up and coming, some that are really doing well. Boston's really having they're on a tear. They're out to prove. I don't know. I think they're mad about losing the cup, but they are kicking some butt, to be completely honest with you. Philly's not doing bad either. So I wouldn't take them lightly. So that's going to be, those two road games going to be pretty good test, I think.
I agree.
Okay. So no sports on the Hill for you this week, you said?
No, not this week, but we will still obviously support Carol Porter III and Robbie Gross on Sports on the Hill, in which I believe they are just going to go absolutely crazy tomorrow evening, at 7, they'll talk about the Caps, and shortly after, I'm sure they are going to talk about that amazing Nationals win, and I know that Robbie went to the parade yesterday, so that was always very cool to see, you know, when you see pitchers and people's experiences, and, you know, when you've been following a team that you're just like, oh, they were so close. And then maybe next season. And then this was definitely the national season. So that was good to see. But no, I will not be on the air tomorrow night. So this is going to be my only podcast for the week.
Okay, fair enough. Well, as I always say, get her while you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to wrap it up here. But first thing, something I mentioned, a longtime listener of ours and follower of ours, Mary Jennings. I want to give her a quick shout out. She's actually going to be at the game tonight in Cap 1, cheering the Caps on.
I'm so glad you said something because I have her written down I was going to mention her also when you're like, Anna, do you have any other final words? So, yeah, I hope she has a fantastic time because she's been nothing but awesome and supportive to us. So, sweet. I hope it's a kick-ass game.
I hope so, too. So we're going to get to that. So thanks, Mary, for posting on our page and letting us know that you'll be there and you can get some pictures. And hope you have a great time. Hope you bring home a win for our Caps. All right, so I think we're going to wrap it up here. They're going to be dropping the puck very soon, making some intros. So for Anna Knox the Mermaid, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off for another week and reminding you that I have a quick news story I wanted to relate. Seems that noted animal philanthropist Old MacDonald sold his farm recently. Well, it seemed there was a coyote that had wandered onto his property and made so much caterwauling and noises that it disturbed the neighbors, who forced him to sell his farm. So at his press conference, he explained the whole ordeal and just said he was pretty much done. He was pressed for more detail, and so all he could explain further was that, well, no farm, no howl.
Yeah. I think people would rather hear my porn story or at least a funny French joke I saw yesterday that not a lot of people would get, but next time,
maybe next time, but that honestly would, Sean, do little to mitigate the mess.
God, look at you. You're so Zimmerman quick with your puns tonight. We're going to end it on that note because I don't know. I can't. I'm hungry and I'm going to go watch the Caps play the Flames.
I win.
No.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.